Hello, and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cupp, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Just before Thanksgiving, CMS reported that federal audits revealed millions of dollars in widespread overcharges and payment errors to Medicare Advantage health plans. Some plans overbilled Medicare more than $1,000 per patient a year on average, and the audits all told uncovered roughly $12 million in net overpayments for the care of more than 18,000 patients sampled. And in fact, the auditor said that the actual losses to the taxpayers are probably a lot higher. In fact, CMS said it was going to extrapolate the error payment rates for those samples across the total membership of each MA plan and recoup an estimated $650 million as a result. So, given the popularity and growth of Medicare Advantage use, and particularly in the DME world, we have Wayne Van Halem, president and founder of audit consulting firm The Van Halem Group, on the podcast to discuss what HME providers might be seeing as a result. Wayne, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, David. Always good to be here. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. So let's dive in. Wayne, what is this going to mean for the HME world?
Well, I guess I should have hesitated before I said Happy New Year. Some of this stuff, but I do think we are likely going to sort of see an increase in volume of audits and managed care. In fact, I think we're already seeing that quite a bit in our practice. And they're a lot different from a Medicare audit, so we're seeing an increase in the volume. And working with them is somewhat challenging. So I do think there will be some sort of downstream impact if CMS comes. Now, one thing that's interesting about this is these overpayments were identified quite a ways back, and CMS still has not actually recouped the money, but they indicate that they will recoup it. And chances are, I mean, we all know the health plans that we work with. If Medicare starts recouping significant amounts of money from them, they're going to turn around and try to get money back from other areas, and that includes HME. So we're seeing an increase in volume of managed care audits already. I think when CMS starts recouping this money, we'll see an increase as a result of that as well. And then there also was a OIG report that came out recently that talked about CMS's lack of oversight in the Medicaid and managed care areas, particularly when it comes to the area of program integrity. So I think there's sort of a perfect storm aligned of clues that would indicate that we will probably start seeing more audits in the managed care area, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately is right. And I think you mentioned that the audits for managed care differ from other Medicare audits because these are sort of coming downstream to us, right? You know, Medicare is, you know, auditing the managed care plans, and then in turn, the managed care plans are auditing the companies that they work with. Is that right?
Yeah. And they're different in the fact that there's so many different plans out there, and they all, you know, are charged with performing program integrity type of activities. But they all approach it very differently, and there's differing rules, depending on your status with them. For example, are you in network with them or are you out of network? And I think for us, what we see as the biggest challenge is, at least with Medicare, while obviously Medicare audits can be difficult, there at least is a specific process that's followed, and they don't stray from that process. And so we know what we anticipate, what our options are, what's next. When we get an overpayment, we have an administrative appeal process that's outlined. But with these managed care plans, it can differ from supplier to supplier. So oftentimes they get to dictate what the appeal process will be. If you're an in-network contract supplier, your contract will include that information. But for out-of-network, there's a separate process that's supposed to be followed. And what we've found in many of the cases that we've worked on is the managed care plan isn't aware of what that process is, even though it's clearly outlined in the Medicare Managed Care Manual. They're not following it. So we've had significant issues and challenges trying to get the rights afforded to our clients by some of these managed care plans. So I do think, you know, CMS has indicated they are going to try to beef up their oversight of the managed care plans and sort of make sure that they're following the processes that are there. But it's a challenge because not always in every case we find that. And they're really, really difficult to get to the right individual. You know, we have a client that was being audited by UnitedHealthcare for over a year on respiratory equipment provided during the pandemic. And they just couldn't get through to anyone. And when we finally were able to get through, there's so many different lines of business for UnitedHealthcare. There's, you know, commercial, and there's Medicare, and there's Medicaid, and, you know, they don't talk to each other. So they all were auditing. And when we finally got them to stop the audit, it took another 3 or 4 months for us to stop getting audit requests because it's just so challenging for an organization so large to communicate to different lines of business. So I think if it were me, I'd rather not have an audit, but if I had one, I think I'd prefer a Medicare one just because at least we know the process and it's we know what our options are. And that's the challenge with the other ones.
Man, it seems to me that part of this, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm mischaracterizing this, and correct me if I am, part of the reason that this auditing process is so fractious is because these organizations maybe haven't really done much in the way of auditing before, and I wonder if they might wind up starting using contractors, and if that might be, in a weird way, a good thing.
Yeah, that's potentially feasible, and we're already seeing it somewhat. So there's a wide disparity in the program integrity functions across these payers. Some of them have very robust program integrity departments that oversee claim submissions, and others do not. So that's, again, one of the challenges is if you're dealing with some, if you're one of these states that has multiple managed care plans, you're going to see the, you know, the way in which they audit just vary widely, which makes it a challenge for providers not knowing it. You know, oftentimes they don't have the best published policies, or they're difficult to find, and they interpret those policies. If they're following Medicare or Medicaid policies, they interpret them a little bit differently, and that just becomes significantly challenging. Now, there is an avenue that's called the Unified Program Integrity Contractors. And, you know, in the past, they were charged with both looking at Medicare and Medicaid, but they have not done as much in the Medicaid arena. And CMS, through that OIG report, has indicated that they intend to utilize the UPICs more in the area of Medicaid managed care. And that is a contractor that we'll see come up. A lot of the commercial plans are also utilizing the recovery audit contractors. So companies like Performant and some of the others that are reimbursed a contingency for the amount of money that they are able to recoup. Payers like that because those programs are very efficient for them to run. They have to have some, you know, a little oversight, but essentially the RAC goes out and does all the work, and they just, you know, they just get to keep a percentage. So it just brings money back in the door. So I think we'll probably see an increase in RAC audit activity for managed care plans as well as a result of this. And they, if the plan itself doesn't have such a robust program, they might turn to someone, another entity that specializes in that to do those types of reviews. So it's very feasible that that could happen.
For right now, what do you recommend that providers do if they start seeing more audits from managed care plans?
I would say the first thing to do is if you start getting an audit from one of these managed care plans is to attempt to address it with the payer as quickly as possible. What we've seen in many cases is that these tend to drag on much, much longer than a normal Medicare audit would. And, you know, for example, You know, we have a client that's been under a prepayment review on almost 100% of claims submitted to a particular payer for over a year. There's no reason that something like that should go on that long, but because they had a difficult time trying to reach the right person at the plan to discuss, and they weren't getting any, they weren't getting phone calls back, it just kept going and going. So that would be the key thing, I would think, is attempt to, you know, if you're in network with them, try to get in touch with your contract officer to find out who it is that's responsible for performing the audit so that you can communicate with them and try to get it resolved, see what their concerns are and get them resolved as quickly as possible. We've just seen the quality of the reviews that come from these managed care plans, again, just varies so significantly. And oftentimes they're interpreting policies incorrectly. So there should be an administrative appeal process for companies to follow, whether they're in network or not. If you're not in network, the government determines what that appeal process is. And it kind of mirrors the administrative appeal process for Medicare. So it's definitely in their best interest to take advantage of that as well. But communication is going to be the biggest challenge with these payers in finding the right person. So I would get working on that immediately. If you're not having any luck, reaching out to someone who might be able to help, that might have contacts there, would probably be the first thing that I would recommend.
Okay. But one way or another, it sounds like providers can expect these sorts of audits to be part of the reality of working with managed care plans going forward.
Yeah, unfortunately. And, you know, I think historically, the DME industry has sort of come to terms with the fact that audits are a part of our reality. I think in the past few years, we've seen a significant decline, one, because of the ALJ backlog. CMS really limited the number of audits that were entering into the appeal process because they're trying to get that backlog down, which is now resolved. But also because of the pandemic, and CMS, in many cases, still has stopped auditing certain areas that were, you know, previously pretty heavily audited. So, you know, I think we've experienced sort of a break in it, but I think everyone, you know, prior to that sort of had come to terms with the fact that it is a definite part of doing business in the HME industry. And I just think now that things are quieting down somewhat with the public health emergency, we may see that lifted during the next 3 months. But, you know, I think things are going to start going back to normal with increases in volume, probably back to what we were more used to prior to the pandemic.
That's some kind of normal there, Wayne. You know, I'm wondering, Wayne, has the Van Halen Group ever considered developing a time machine that can either help us either jump forward or backwards in time to a point where managed care plans audits aren't an issue?
I wish we could, but we're certainly here to help try to manage the process, at least to minimize the impact as much as possible.
And Wayne, if people want to find out more about what you guys do, where can they go online, or how can they call you guys? What's the best way to reach you?
Sure. VanHalenGroup.com is our website and has our contact information out there. We're also on Facebook and LinkedIn as well. So reach out to us in any of those areas.
Awesome. Wayne, thanks for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it, and Happy New Year.
Thanks, David. You too.
Thanks again to Wayne for joining the podcast, and make sure to check out more information about the Van Halen Group. They're over at VanHalenGroup.com. And with that, I think we'll wrap things up with for today's episode. But before I do that, I have a question for everybody out in the audience. Do you want to help the HME Business Podcast reach more HME providers? Then take a quick second, do me a favor, and rate and review this episode. That'll help spread the word. Regardless of what service you're using, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Google Podcasts or whatever. Also, please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. If you want to stay on top of everything that's happening, make sure to subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter over at hme-business.com. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print or digital version of the magazine as well. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and I'm on those services as well. Lastly, if you have any feedback or suggestions, don't be afraid to reach out to me via email at D as in David, K O, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME industry topics like the ongoing onslaught of audits. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.